fishing story. I like to fish. Three guys were fishing on the lake. They'd been fishing buddies for a long time. And, when they settled down enough to speak, you know, you get out there and you start preaching. Well, this is true. I'm telling you it's true. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. You know, I think it was Barkley Lake, which is there in Kentucky. Yeah, this just happened about 2 weeks ago. And so Jesus comes walking on the water, and one of the elderly guys that had back problems forever, he could barely get in and out of the boat, and they saw Jesus, and Jesus said, what can I do for you? And he said, well, I've suffered from back pain. I was in the Vietnam War. I've still got shrapnel back there. And could you help me? Could you heal me? And Jesus goes, of course, my son. And he touches his lower back and completely healed. Hey, do y'all believe in healing? Do you believe this story? Carry on. So the next guy has worn glasses, and they're about that thick all his life, and he saw this guy, and he'd known him, and he's healed, and he's bending his back and about to turn the boat over, and Jesus said, you must have poor eyesight. Is there anything I can do for you? And he said, absolutely. I'd love to be able to see without these glasses. So Jesus just took his glasses off of him and tossed them in the lake and said, be healed. And the man was totally healed. Can I get an amen? Hey, see, if you're a guest, see how my people go along with me. They humor me, and because we like to have fun. I mean, having a joyful attitude is one of the core values of our church. We believe you ought to laugh a little. Why don't we laugh a lot when we come to church? Come on, right? So now here's this other guy, and I mean, he's in bad shape. I mean, he's crippled and got one ear missing and blind in one eye and can't see out of the other. And I don't even know how he was out there fishing. But Jesus turned to the third man and said, and he's getting ready to just touch him because he can see that this guy's in really bad shape. He goes, no, don't touch me. I'll lose my disability pension. I'm telling you, it's a true story. It's true. It's absolutely true. Happened in Kentucky. You know, I got a call Thursday. I just touched on it last week. And called my mom. My mom was in the hospital. She's now home with my sister, which I'm so thankful for. It's a great situation. And thank you for your prayers. So, my mom has been in terrible health, in and out of the hospital more than anybody I know ever have known in the last 2 or 3 years, suffered long. As I visit my mom, especially the last 2 years, I get to see her about twice a year. She's been ready to go home. My mom has been saved all her life, filled with the Holy Spirit, loves the Lord, you know, just loves the Lord. She's told me for years, and she's told me several times this week, I don't want any old sad funeral. Don't worry, Mom, because I'll go back and I'll do the memorial. It'll be sad. We'll celebrate. But she had to make a choice. Dialysis wasn't working for her. It was making her worse. So she prayed and felt like she had heard from the Lord that she would just stop. She had kidney transplant years ago and this and that and what have you. And so I got a call this Thursday before last, and it was Mom. And I said this last week, I may as well say it this week. She says, hello, my good-looking son. I go, that's my mama. And my wife said, amen. I haven't seen her in 2 weeks. Saw her today at church for the first time in 2 weeks. She said, I've got some good news. I said, well, what is it, Mom? She said, the doctor has just been in, and I'm going to be with the Lord in 1 to 2 weeks. And I said, Mom, that's really, really good news. And I'm telling you, church, for about 15 or 20 minutes, I had the most glorious conversation with my mother that I've ever had in my life, or with almost anybody. We laughed. We talked about heaven. We celebrated. There was a peace. There was a strength. There was a power. Because you see, why do you lead with this? Well, you know, we're on the same team and we're in mission, but we're family here too. At the Rock, another one of our core values. Everybody can be part of the family here. That matters to, I believe it matters to the Lord and it matters to God. But I really shared it and share it, not just in that context, but in the context of someday we will all have the ultimate healing. And we're all one step away from an ultimate healing. And that's to be with Jesus Christ forevermore. No more heartache, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sin. Oh, what a day that will be. And I sang that song with my mother day before yesterday. It's an oldie. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. And in that powerful moment, my mom, flat on her back, went, oh, hallelujah! She did too, and I got you as well. She'd love it. That's exactly what she did, though. We thought she was asleep. You awake? I want to show you. When the doctors come in, and Stephen, oh, I just had to run in here from the airport. Let it run. You're going to think it's over, but it's not over. It's still not very long. But this is immediately when her doctor come in and give her the news. Her pastor was in the hospital room to receive the news that she had 1 to 2 weeks to live on this earth. And here is just a short video clip of what happened immediately. There's an ultimate healing coming. And there's a healing on this earth. And you don't have to be afraid when you have Jesus Christ in your life. Isaiah 53, we're going to read about six verses, the first six verses there. And it's speaking about Jesus. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no former majesty. This is describing Jesus out of the book of Isaiah. That we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their or hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. And oh, I love this verse, the next two. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Can you say hallelujah? Let's just stop there. By his stripes, the King James says, we are healed. I needed to touch on this because salvation is the ultimate healing. But Christ, and as Christ paid for our salvation at Calvary, as he paid for our sins. But we believe the Bible teaches also, and there are other verses, that the death he died at Calvary was not only for the ultimate healing, but the blood he spilled is for healing today. That God made a way through his son for salvation. God made a way through his son for filling of the Holy Spirit we talked about last week. And God made a way through his son at Calvary through his spilled blood so that we can be set free, healed physically, healed mentally, healed emotionally. Can I get a big amen? We believe in healing. You can read all kinds of polls. Newsweek not too long ago said 84% of Americans across face believe that God still performs miracles. And nearly half in this poll said 48% had experienced a miracle themselves. Listen, Jesus is not dead. God's still working miracles. Look to your neighbor and say, you're a miracle. Are you kidding me? You know you are. This poll said that even 43% of unbelievers had asked God for intervention. And I know they're skeptics. Of course they're skeptics. But God is still God. They're skeptics that say, sure, it was a virgin birth. They're skeptics that say, yeah, right, the Red Sea parted. And we could go on and on. They're skeptics that say, sure, Jonah got swallowed by a big fish or a whale. They're skeptics that say, resurrection? Well, I'm telling you what, God is still God. It doesn't matter what the skeptics think. You may even be a little skeptical yourself this morning. But I'm telling you, God is here through the power of the Holy Spirit to touch and transform your life. He's here. If he's just a storybook, I'm done. You watch that lady sing up there, you know he's alive. And they had a 20-minute. That's just a segment. She said, and she's spirit-filled, operates in the gifts and everything all her life. She said it was the greatest move of the Spirit she had ever experienced for that 20 minutes as they worshiped Almighty God. And you know what happened in that room? When she began to worship, the nurses began to come in and break down and cry. Her doctor come back in the room who's not a believer, a good person, and broke down and began to weep. And that doctor began to take video and ask her later, can I show people what Jesus does for people when they're right at death's doorstep? And mom said, absolutely, because he is risen. He is alive. He is here this morning. And he's here to heal. Today I know he's here to heal. I don't know, understand all there is to know about it. Miracles occur every day with everyday people. Moses experienced miracles. Elijah experienced miracles. Joshua, Elisha, I mean, Jesus, the apostles, it goes on and on and on. Real miracles with people just like you and I. God performs miracles for many reasons. I could give you a long list of reasons. I don't know all the reasons. I just know that he does. I believe that he does love his people. I believe that he loves people, period. He loves believers and he loves unbelievers. And what I've noticed over the years, if you'll just pray for healing for an unbeliever, he's apt to show up and heal them quicker than a believer sometimes, because Jesus wants to show you and he wants to show this world that he's alive. So we need to, it's just a side note, it has nothing to do with my message. We need to start praying for miracles with the people that God puts in our path and watch Jesus show off. Right? He'll show off. He'll show up and show off. Hallelujah. So many times you see in the scripture and in other places, sometimes there's a desperate situation. If you're in a desperate situation this morning and you don't have anywhere else to look, look to Jesus, I'm telling you. You see that in the Bible over and over again. Jesus said many times, he talked about repentance, but he would say on a regular basis to believe the good news. And so many times when we hear the word good news, we talk about the gospel and salvation, and that is good news, isn't it? That's the best news, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's really good news, but I like all the good news. Don't you? We have a couple people in our Connecting Point Fellowship, which will now start week after next, and they told us, we like that. We believe the entire Bible. I'm telling you, the whole good news is I'm repeating myself. He saves, he fills, he heals, he delivers, he sets free. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus was a man of faith. It takes faith. He saw himself and he teaches us that it takes faith to walk in this and possess miraculous power and courage. There was a miraculous, look, it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit, right? But there was so much peace and so much strength and so much power and so much courage when I said goodbye to Mom yesterday that rose up within her as we said goodbye for the last time. I still believe in miracles. I felt our worship team picked every song just right. Do you remember John chapter 2? And I got to hit them fast, fast, fast. John chapter 2, you remember that miracle? They had him a little wedding party and they run out of wine. And that would have been very humiliating to the host of that party. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, went and said, "Hey, man, that's my translation. Hey, son, you got to do something about this." And Jesus said, "Why are you bothering me, Mama? This doesn't have anything to do with me right now." Have you ever said, that's what they say in the South. You can tell I've been at home around all those Southern folks because I'm kind of talking Southern. I usually don't. I tell you what, I had fried chicken every day. Glory be to Jesus. They don't make it out here like they do back there. Woo, country ham in the morning. Fried taters, tomatoes you can taste. Y'all haven't eaten a tomato. Well, I'm getting really, really sidetracked, but food's a pretty good topic to sidetrack on. You run out. Jesus said, "We'll fill the water pots up." What were there? Six big water jars, probably 20, 30, 40 gallons a piece. And they dipped it out, and there was a miracle. Jesus turned water to wine. And I could just teach that text, but I'm just going to hit a few. Jesus turns water to wine. The story isn't about wine at all. I'm not even going to get into that. But, you know, what difference did it make What kind of big deal was that? I mean, come on. Nobody was dying. The electric bills were paid. They were all working and had jobs. It's because Jesus cares about every little detail of our lives. And so many times we're looking for a big miracle, and we need to expect the little miracles, because He's a miracle worker. And if you'll trust Him and you'll pray and you'll ask and you'll look to Him, it's the details of your life that Almighty God through His Son Jesus Christ cares about. Me? Are you kidding me? No. He cares. He works a miracle. Mark chapter 2, and I love this story. Preached the whole sermon in that many times over the years. Here's this guy, he can't walk. The house is so crowded. You may remember the story. They can't get to Jesus. They're paralyzed. Friend, Jesus is healing left and right. I mean, people are getting healed, and people are being transformed, but they can't even get to Christ. You remember what they did? They climbed up on the roof, and they dug through the roof. Can you imagine right now if I was preaching and the roof starts sprinkling and somebody's chipping through that roof up there, and they put that paralyzed man on that mat and they laid him right in front of Jesus. And Jesus stopped what He was doing and He looked at that man and He not only healed him, He said, "Your sins are forgiven and you are healed. Rise up and walk." Hey, so that guy not only walked out of there healed and whole, he walked out of there whole, forgiven, cleansed of all his sins. He got more than he wanted. See, he and his friends had to get to Jesus. This morning, some of y'all need to get to the feet of Jesus. I told you last week, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, get hungry. Get hungry for God. Want more of God. Need more of God. We need more of God anyway, but get hungry for the Holy Spirit. Get hungry for Jesus. Get hungry for all He has. And if you need healing this morning, you may have been prayed for 500 times or no times. Get to the feet of Jesus. He's here this morning. He'll stop what He's doing anywhere and He'll touch and heal you right here in the front of this building this morning. And He may be healing now as you're sitting there. He had time. Matthew 9, there was two blind men that refused to give up. You may remember that story. And I'll just read a few verses from Matthew 9:27. And as Jesus passed on for there, two men, blind men followed Him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, David! Have mercy on us, son of David!" These two guys are yelling. They can't see, but they can yell. When He entered the house, the blind man came to Him and said, and Jesus said to them, now watch this, because you got to listen. "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to Him, "Yes, Lord." Amazing. Then He touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. I mean, I could just teach you miracle after miracle. After they're yelling, they're shouting, they've heard about what Christ's doing, and what does He ask them? He asks them what I'm asking you this morning. And this is a big deal. Do you believe He can heal? Do you believe He can work a miracle for you? No. I've had two prophetic words come to me during the worship service about there being a roadblock in some of us. And I didn't feel like it was for public, but I went and made some notes. Unbelief is sin. Don't let this sin of unbelief hinder your miracle. Do you? That wasn't the only time Jesus asked folks this before He healed them. Do you believe He can heal you this morning? Do you believe He cares for you this morning? Do you believe you could get rid of lifelong depression if that's in the house? Do you believe you could come in crippled and walk out whole? Do you believe it? Your heart may be broken this morning. Do you believe the Holy Spirit can touch you and make your heart whole? You may be struggling under life's pressures. Do you believe Jesus Christ can lift you up and carry you and make you strong in your weakness? Do you believe? You know why I believe? And it's been in my devotions all week. 1 Corinthians 13 and 7 says, love believes all things. You remember the love chapter? And I don't have time to read it, but that verse hit me like it had never hit me before. And I've read it maybe thousands of times. Love believes all things. You know why I believe Christ? Even when it's desperate, even when I'm not sure of myself and my situation, even when my mom is dying, even when the stresses of life come, even when I've struggled physically, mentally, and emotionally as well, at times, you know what keeps me believing? Love believes all things. And at least for me, and I hope He will touch your heart this way, I know He loves me. There were times I didn't know how I was going to make the mortgage payment, but I knew He loved me. There were times I wondered why I was ill, but I knew He loved me. There were times I was really struggling emotionally and I needed a touch from God. But one thing I did know that Jesus loved me. Because see, love believes all things. You've got to believe that God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe He loves you, you can believe for the whole shooting match. You see, I know He loves me. He's always taken care of me. I know He loves me. He doesn't change like shifting shadows. He's the same yesterday, today, and ever. He's always steady when I'm up or down. I know He loves me because of His kindness that He's extended toward me and you over and over. I know He loves me because He's been patient, very, very patient with me. I don't always behave right away when He's trying to work things in my life. He's kind. He's patient. He's took care of my family. He's took care of my children. He takes care of our church. He's taken care of this building. He's taken care of you. I said He's taken care of you. And you know why He took care of you? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And if He loves you, and if you really believe He loves you, you can believe that He'll heal too. Come on now. Do you believe? Do you believe? Get that old unbelief out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, and I'm going to have to skip over some. I'm going to run out of time. The old invalid for 38 years. And Jesus asked the man a little different question. Do you want to get well? That's the, whoa. We deal with unbelief. Do you want to get well? I've been around people that really don't want to get well. They like being sick. They like being fractured emotionally. They like being codependent on everybody. They like the attention from their illness, mentally, emotionally, or physical. And in some area, they're invalids. Do you want to get well this morning? Because if you do, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is here to touch and heal. If you're paralyzed, He'll heal you. If you're crippled, He'll heal you. If you're blind, He'll heal you. What's ever going on in your world, if you'll trust Him because He loves you, and you really want to get healed, Jesus is a healer. And I could go on and on. I need to skip a few. What do you learn? We learn so many lessons from these stories. Miracles happen to people that sincerely desire them. Well, Pastor, why doesn't Jesus heal everybody? I don't know. He walked, sometimes He healed everybody in town, and sometimes He walked by 500 to heal one. I don't know. But I do know He heals. And I do know that He works miracles. I know that. And I know that He heals when we don't have faith, and I know that He heals when we do have faith. You won't hear that, but it's Bible. But, you know, I've had people have faith for me. It takes faith. What else you really got anyway? What do you really have when your body shuts down someday and you got 3 days to live? Your faith. So then what do we really have anyway? Your faith. Your faith. Some of you have heard it, a lot of you haven't. And how many here have experienced a miracle? Let me see your hands. Look around. Look around. Look. See? You know, sometimes it's easier for me and probably easier for you to pray for somebody else's miracle. Because, boy, when we're in the fire, whoo-wee. It reminds me, and again, we had Bill Easter here. It's been many years ago now, 8, 9, 10 years ago. And for years, I had struggled with a rotator cuff. This one, I couldn't raise beyond there. So, you know, I'm looking at the whole shoulder deal. I could coach Little League, but I couldn't throw with the boys. Couldn't throw with my own sons. And then the other rotator cuff began to go bad. And Bill's up here preaching. And he's preaching on healing, at least part of his message. And he's doing the altar call. And I walked right over here and stood, you know, God's a man of faith and power. And he's just asking people if they want to be healed and working in the, and we're going to teach on the charismatic gifts in the fall, y'all. And he was working in the gift of the word of knowledge. And he was calling out people sitting in the congregation with certain illnesses. And God was touching them. And I'm sitting over there, you know, waiting for him to come to the altar with one shoulder that won't work and one other arm, you know. And I'm just, you know, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to me, because Bill started, said, if it's limbs, start trying to move them. And I'm just praying for the people. I'm just praying up a storm for everybody. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, well, what about you, Dale? So I'm over here in the corner. Some of y'all, a few of you were here. And I said, okay. Faith that'll move mountains. I'm going to go with the easy one first. I'm just telling you the truth. We need faith, but sometimes let's get real with each other. But Bill had enough faith for the whole house that day. And I said, well, might as well move it. Whoa. I'm healed. Now, I'm not saying anything yet. And then the Holy Spirit goes, what about that other one? Because it would not go beyond that. And I said, all right, Lord, here we go. Still this day. Now watch this. I'm over here. Bill's having an altar call. I don't know what's up. And then it dawned on me. They think I'm a kook. I mean, that was a weird manifestation. But you know what? And so I immediately got over to the microphone and let everybody know I wasn't doing the Holy Ghost backstroke. But I was healed, church. And I'm still healed to this day. Jesus still heals. And I went home and threw a ball with my boys, and I threw for hours, and the next day I woke up, my elbow wouldn't move. I threw so much. But it healed up in about 3 days. Jesus still heals. Jesus still works miracles. Hey, if you haven't cleaned your house out, anoint it with oil and get the junk out of it. When we were in the Casa Grande house, we had trouble with mildew. Now, I'm not trying to be weird, and Clorox wouldn't clean it, come back the very next day. And I had come out of a cleaning business in Florida when I was bivocational, but Trey was having nightmares, and he swore it was he was being tormented. And so we decided to, one night, we just got mad, and I don't know, we had any of this oil, so we went and got the Wesson oil. Listen, if you don't have some of this sweet smelling stuff, get the Wesson. It still works. Just go get some oil. And we walked through that house praising Jesus and casting out devils and demons and anointed. We anointed the walls and the door frames. We got to Trey's bedroom. And he's just a little boy, about 2 or 3 years old. He said, "Mom and Daddy, there's one more under the bed." He said it, and he wasn't joking. So we got under the bed. That was when I could bend down. You know, I can't bend down now. But got under and anointed that thing. Now, come on. That Jesus filled that house, and we invited the presence of the Holy Spirit in and cast the darkness out of that home in Jesus' name. Who knows who was in that home? Who knows what happened in that home? But when you got the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be safe. And Trey never saw another demonic figure, never had another nightmare one. Ever, never, never. They were gone. And guess what? We woke up the next morning and the mildew was gone and it never came back again. Do you believe God works miracles? Do you want a miracle yourself? That's what I'm asking you this morning. So ask the Lord for help. Matthew 7:7 said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds." Ask. Ask Him this morning. When we make the altar call, ask Jesus. He loves you. He cares. Do what you can do. You say, "Well, I may have to drag my leg up." Well, then bring what you got. That Elisha showed up to the widow's house. She had a little bit of oil and a little bit of grain. Fed everybody for weeks and weeks and weeks. Come the way you are. Come the way you are. Do what you can do. We talked about the feeding, or we're going to, when the feeding of the 5,000. Little boy brought, all he had was a Long John Silver's little box, two fishes and a few hush puppies. I had cornbread, real cornbread, not this cakey stuff y'all eat out here. I had real cornbread every day. Oh, let's get back to the message. Bring it. Bring what you've got. Come as you are. You remember in John 21, Jesus was gone and Peter and those boys went out fishing, and here comes Jesus. He's standing on the shore. He's already got a barbecue going. You know, him and Jonathan were good buddies when it comes to that. Jonathan has learned to cook from Jesus, except for some of the things he cooks. I don't know if that's the Lord, but that's another story. Because, I mean, he'll roadkill. You got to ask him what you're eating before you eat it, okay? We had cow tongue chili 1 year and it won second place. He didn't tell us it was cow tongue. Yeah, watch him close. The chili cook-off will be here before you know it, and I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Oh, yeah, we got to hurry up. He said, "Throw your net on the other side." Been fishing all night, Lord. Received prayer 100 times, Lord. Been believing 20 years, Lord. Been sick. Still struggling. Same old battle. Try it this way. Caught so many fish they didn't know what to do with them. Look, you got to do what he tells you. When we pray for you here in a minute or any time, 7 days a week, you got to do what the Spirit's impressing you to do. And if you get touched and it's a backstroke, it's okay with me and it's okay with Jesus. And we'll all call you weird though. Get ready for that. For fun. Well, it might be kind of true sometimes, but look, do what he tells you. James 5 and 14 says this, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Trust Him. Trust His Word. Pray the Word. Stand on the Word. Believe the Word. Put your name in it. By His stripes, Dale is healed. By His stripes, I am healed. Say your name. When we pray for you, use the Scripture. The Word of God is powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword. It's mighty. There's a little girl that, and it was similar to a house. You remember, my first farmhouse did have a cellar, and you had the open doors in the floor and the stairway down. And the father had gone down there and hadn't turned the light on, and a little girl come along and looked, and it was pitch black. She said, "Who's down there?" And she said, he said, "It's me, Daddy. It's me, honey. No worries." She says, "I want to come down there with you." He said, "Well, I've already put the ladder, folded the ladder up, but I'm down here. Just jump and I'll catch you." Huh. Now, the little girl thought probably what I would have thought. Jump in that dark hole? "Daddy, I can't see you." And he speaks back up to her out of a dark hole, because it's light up where she's at. She can't see what's down there, but she knows it's her daddy. And I quote, "Now, honey, wait a minute. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe I'm down here?" "Sure, I believe you're down there. I'm talking with you," she said. "Do you believe I'm strong enough to catch you?" "Yes, Daddy, I believe you love me. I believe that you're strong enough to catch me." "Okay, honey, do you believe that I love you?" "Yes, Daddy, I know you love me." "Honey, have I ever told you a lie?" "No, Dad, you've never told me a lie." "Okay, you know I love you. I'm here. I'm strong. I can catch you." He says, "Jump." Leap. Step. Do you believe Jesus loves you? Do you really believe that? Do you think He's strong? Do you think He's here? Do you think He's always with you? Do you think He can catch you? Look to your neighbor and say, "Jump." Look to your neighbor and say, "Jump." See, you've got to take Him at His word. You've got to jump. And when you do, and I'm skipping sections because we got to get to prayer here just in a few minutes. He said, "Ask whatever you ask, for in prayer, and you'll receive." He said that in Matthew 21:22. Mark 9:23 said, "All things are possible for him who believes." Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it." And that's where I want to just touch on before we wrap up here. You have to receive. Not only trust, but receive. I receive, Lord. Already you should be saying, "I receive what your word says. I receive what pastor's exhorting us with. I receive that you're a miracle worker. I know that if I jump and take a chance that you'll always catch me." I said, "Always catch me." I receive. You know, Philippians, and we're going to do a whole series next year on about six verses in Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything. And it's going to be a lot about dealing with anxiety, because that's a big deal in our culture, I think. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So when you believe and you come for a healing, here or wherever you come, be ready to receive. And as you pray, say, Lord, I receive. And I know some teaching have taken it a little too far, but I'm going to take it biblically. Thank Him for your healing before you receive it. It's still biblical. Thank Him before He answers prayer. Thank Him before He works a miracle. Thank Him in advance. Come with Him in supplication and intercession and prayer with a sincere heart. Said, Lord, I thank You. I thank You. I need a healing, and Lord, I thank You. I know You're the healer. I know You can touch. I know You can cleanse. I know I need this healing in my body. And Lord, I'm here to receive, and I thank You and praise You for who You are in advance for what You're going to do in me. Thank Him ahead of time. He's a miracle worker. Do you believe it? 1949, and I'm done. My father returned from World War II, and if you read the history of our nation during that time, a lot of folks, especially in the rural areas, they didn't have cars yet, or they had one old car everybody shared. My grandfather, just a little before that, they used to run to the end of their driveway to see the only car in the whole county drive by. The doctor owned a car. So when the World War II vets got home, they walked everywhere. If they were in the city, they took a bus. But you would see vets walking everywhere. You'd just see them out and about. Well, Grandpa came home, and his mother was deathly ill. He knew that, so he went to the hospital right away. And the doctors told that man that had just got home and went straight to his mother's bedside, as I've been at my mother's bedside, and said that if she didn't receive a blood transfusion immediately, she would die in the next 24 hours and most likely through the night. Now, her blood type was AB negative. I don't know much about blood, but that's a very rare type of blood, AB negative. And there were no blood banks then, not like there are today. So you'd have to find somebody that could give blood to bring blood in to help folks. And so really, her son decided to head on home and change clothes and come by and sit at his mother's bed until she died. Now, he was driving home, and he was teared up because he just got home, and he's not going to get to be with his mother very much. And there was a soldier walking down the road. He wasn't hitchhiking or anything, but something stirred this guy to pull over and pick this soldier up. So he did. Hey, you want to ride? Yeah, we're going this way. Well, as he was driving, there were tears rolling down his cheek. And the soldier said, I don't know you, sir. You and I are strangers. But what's wrong? I can tell that you're grieving and that you're upset. And so he told him the brief story. And while he's telling the really brief story, brief just like I told you, the soldier takes his dog tags off from around his neck, flips them over and says, AB negative. The dad turns back around. The soldier gives his blood. And that mama lived until 1996, 47 more years. And that son, and he's going to be with the Lord now, never knew who that soldier was, never saw him after that night. God still works miracles. Do you believe it? Will you believe it? Will you receive it? Some of you need the ultimate miracle this morning. Others need all kinds of touches. Will you take a leap of faith? This morning, worship team, come. Here's how we're going to do it today. Because not everybody needs prayer for healing.